Morning.
Morning.
How's everybody? We went to the mountains last week and I got to see a functional family. My family is not so functional. Cindy has two sisters that are just delightful and they have good husbands too. It was really nice to be around normal, whatever that means. I'm a little out of order this morning. I want to take a moment, if you would, with me, bear with me. There's a meeting going on in about a half an hour at my last church up in Norbert, Pennsylvania. Darren's son attends that church. The minister that they called, I was a transitional minister up there, the minister that they called lasted 5 months. He resigned a few weeks ago, and they have a congregational meeting this morning to talk about it. They're in a mess. And it occurred to me, this happens to churches all the time. I understand it happened over here a little bit a year or two ago. It occurred to me that we might get help if we could take a moment and pray for that church and that meeting this morning and whatever is being said, that it be said, heard, absorbed with God in mind. So would you take a moment and bow your heads and let's just have a moment of silence for Norbert Presbyterian Church. Thank you. Now let's go to scripture. Guess what we're going to read this morning? Galatians 5. Two or three more times, we'll probably have this one down. Join me, Galatians 5, verse 22. Let's read together. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law, and those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let's also walk by the Spirit. And these are God's words. May He add His blessing to this partial reading of His holy word. Let's pray now together. Good morning, Father. Thank you for being with us right here, right now, right here at Grace Covenant Church in Charlotte, North Carolina. Can you be anywhere else? Of course you can. You can be everywhere else. But that does not take away the splendid presence that you give us this morning. Let us worship you in spirit. Let us worship you in truth and peace. And let my words come from you as we explore your word together. Now let the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your presence, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. The word was on the screen a while ago. We're learning Greek together, this series. The word of the day is, I did this with Julia, I had to stop. Agathosyne. Goodness, of course it is. You feel some agathosyne this morning? In the 1950s and 60s, how many of you were alive? General Mills was king of the cereal makers. It had cornflakes and it had Cheerios, and it boasted a pretty G in the upper corner of the box. Some of you remember that, and that stood for General Mills. The ad slogan was the big G stands for goodness. Remember that? Some of you do. Wouldn't that be nice if all we had to do was buy the right cereal and we'd be filled with goodness? I tried it with Cheerios. I don't think it worked very well. Think about for a moment all the ways that we use the term good. He's a good man. She's a good woman. I just want to have a good time. Goody two-shoes. Good job, good food, good night. The good, the bad, and the ugly. It's been a good day. You're a good friend. And the list goes on and on and on. Good has more meanings and shades of meaning than you can shake a stick at. We all recognize an element within the word that we like, an element that we respect and desire, good. It's in food and cereal boxes and toothpaste and the workplace. It's in books and literature. Hopefully it's in church. It's on playgrounds. It's the stuff of heroes. But it's also in the smallest corner of your home. Good. We heard some scriptures this morning about how good God is and how some of the ways that he's good to us. What does it mean? Is it so broad that it cannot be defined? Is it so deep that it can't be confined, controlled, converted to some specific meaning? I don't think so. I think that good is so easy to understand within our working knowledge that we instinctively know what it means. Good may be hard to capture, elusive to define, but it's easy to spot. In the very first chapter of the very first book of the Old Testament, God creates. God creates and creates. For a whole God week, he creates, and every time he does, he stands back, looks it over, and calls it what? Moses, as it is most generally recognized, or whoever the writer or writers of Genesis may be, use one term over and over to describe the results of this creation. He or they call it good. God sees that it is good. He sees that the light is good. God separates earth from the seas, and he sees that that is good. The earth brings forth vegetation and fruit-bearing trees, and God sees that it is good. The story of creation goes on, the setting of the sun, the moon, and the stars into the heaven, and God sees that it is good. On the fifth day come sea creatures and birds. God sees that it is good and blesses them. Day six brings the jewels in the creation. First, God creates land creatures and creeping things, and God sees that it is good. Then man and woman are created in God's image, and God blesses them and commissions them and gives them dominion over all the rest of creation. And the book of Genesis says that God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. Are you starting to get the picture? It helps me to see what God calls good. It helps me to understand something about his standards, granted they're godly standards, but also granted that the book of Genesis tells us that we were made in God's image. Surely, if we are created in his image, he meant us for good. In fact, he said about us that we, humanity, were very good. Okay. So what does goodness look like? Can you see goodness? You might ask Joseph. Joseph went from being Jacob's favorite to running the kingdom of Egypt at the right hand of Pharaoh. And his route included a prison stretch where he had no right to hope for anything except maybe a merciful death. But when his brothers later stood in front of him in Egypt, he explained to them that the evil that they might have meant for him was all part of God's plan. A plan to save many lives. Being good looks like Joseph. Well, what does goodness feel like? Can you feel goodness? Ask Barnabas. He was let go by Paul in a fit of temper because he would not betray young John Mark. He was the godly man left out of the equation by the 13th apostle. And yet the 11th chapter of Acts calls Barnabas a good man, full of the Holy Spirit. He was instrumental in reconnecting Paul and Mark. He was instrumental in reconnecting Paul with himself. Being good probably feels like Barnabas. What does goodness taste like? Can you taste goodness? That sounds silly, doesn't it? I think you can. I think it tastes alive. The 5th chapter of Amos tells us that you must seek the Lord that you may live. Think about that. Seek the Lord that you may live. Later in the chapter, the prophet tells God's people that they should seek good and not evil, that you may live. How do we live? By seeking the Lord? We do it by seeking good. God is synonymous with good. To seek God is to seek goodness. It's the taste that both satisfies and leaves you hungry. It's the taste that only God can give you that will satisfy your appetite and make you want more at the same time. Good is as simple as doing something unselfishly for someone else. And it tastes better than a gourmet meal. Good is connected to time. Time to do good. Do you have that much time in your day? Have time to do good for somebody? Good is also disconnected from time. You don't look at your watch or your calendar when something good is coming from you. You take whatever time it requires, like God has done for you. Now, we've talked about what goodness looks like, what goodness feels like, what it tastes like. How do we do it? How do we do goodness? In the Gospel of Luke, a rich young ruler comes to Jesus and he calls him good teacher. Some translations say master, but I like this translation, good teacher, here. And Jesus asks him, this is one of those passages I probably read 150 times. Last week I read it and I went, oh my gosh, I never saw that. Jesus says, why do you call me good? No one is good except God. Think about that. The Son of God declares that even he is not inherently good. What's his point? I would speculate that Jesus is talking as a man and reiterating that all good things come from God. Through God. I can't help but stop. If my son were here, he wouldn't let me say this, but he's not. And he's not listening either. The other night we had a conversation, a really good conversation. My son has read the Bible cover to cover twice. Now he's listening to somebody that's talking from a seminary on the internet, of course. And he doesn't believe in God. He's very adamant about that. He doesn't believe. We got in a conversation the other night about things that happened in a bad time in my life, 30, 40 years ago. And I was sharing with him some of the things I did to get through it. And it occurred to me that that was one of those times in my life when I was really all alone. I had nobody to turn to, nobody. But I had God, and I knew that I had God, and I relied on God. I've watched my son go through a couple bad spots in his life too. And I asked him the other night, I said, not so much asking as just stating, I don't see how you've done some of the things you've done. When I went through my rough spots, I had God and I leaned on him, and you don't. And he bowed his head and he said, you're right. And I said, I really don't see how you got to where you are just relying on yourself. Now, I'm speaking to the choir here, I hope. We're all Christians in this room. If we're not, you need to talk to me after the service. Think about that. There are people out there, probably within 100 feet of this church right now, that are trying to get through life without God. Think about what kind of burden that is. You know, because you know what it's like to have God. And I would issue that to you as a challenge. You know people that need that. Maybe you're the link that they need to get from there to here. 3 John 11. You can't say that about anything I don't think in the Bible but 3 John. You can't say 3 John 11. What's that? A chapter? No. 3 John is one chapter, so it doesn't have chapter 1. It's just the 11th verse in 3 John, and there John says it in a way that I get. There John says that we're imitators. Imitators. We either imitate evil or we imitate good. Now that's a lot to digest. What it implies is that we're not evil, that's good, but that we imitate it. And John says, whoever does good is from God. You can't take a lot of credit, can you? If John is to be believed, whoever does good is from God. Another translation says that whoever does good is of God. We are not inherently good. Quite the contrary. It is the great inheritance of the Reformation and of John Calvin that we understand ourselves to be totally depraved. We don't come into this world good. We have a sinful nature, but we don't have to be that way and we don't have to stay that way. We have a choice. We can let God come in. Or maybe God is already in and we just need to let him loose. When we see good, when we feel good, when we do good, it is from God. It is of God. Don't take my word for it. Read John. How do we do goodness? John tells us how. We do that which is good, because the Spirit of God is moving within us, whether or not we give him the credit. My son, again, is a good man. I've watched him do good most of his life to many, many people. I admire him. He thinks it comes from him, and I know better. The Apostle Paul reminds us in Ephesians 4 that we express goodness by telling the truth, by not stealing, by doing useful, helpful things, beneficial things, by keeping sin out of our anger. Paul tells us that each of us was given grace according to the measure of Christ's gift. Think about that. It's wonderful enough that we're given grace. But think of this. The measure of our grace was not according to us, but according to Christ's gift to us. As we imitate God and Christ, we begin to show that image into which we were made. We are a reflection of the God who is part of us. We begin to live in Christ. That's one of Paul's favorite prepositions, and we begin to let Christ live in us. What is goodness? I think goodness is living for others. Living to serve rather than to be served. Way back in Genesis, we watched as Joseph took hit after hit after hit for the team. He was the one that God picked out to look out for the many. This concept of the one for the many is not just for Joseph. It's very much part of the church too. As Darren was talking about the Christian ministry this morning that you've done to prisoners, to female prison inmates. That's a great example of that. It's very much part of what we do as we gather to be enriched and scatter to tell the word of God to those who need to hear it. Throughout history, people have stood up in war and peace for principle, for family, for country, for their fellow man, for God. Remember that fellow from Galilee with all those fishermen friends? He was the one who laid it all down for the many. He was goodness personified. But even that doesn't tell the whole story. Jesus was way more than that. He was also for me. He was also for you. I have no doubt that even if there was only one person to die for, he would have done the same thing. God is so good. He's so good to me, and he's so good to you. The final words of the 23rd Psalm have been the promise to God's people all the way back to the reign of David. Listen to it one more time. Surely, what a word. There's no ifs or buts in surely. It's going to happen. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will, another command, mandate word, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We need to claim that promise. We need to let God be good to us. Let's say it together. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. Let's pray. Dear Father, thank you. Thank you for this hour, that we can come together, that we can hear your word, that we can be enriched. Help us to be motivated. Help us to carry you with us when we walk out this door. As you greeted us coming in, you will go with us going out. Now we have gathered, let us scatter. Let us do your will. And dear God, let us be good. We'll give you all the glory. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.